This is Ira Stephen Bear. You're listening to Trekmate. Keep on listening.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Trekmate podcast. Its continuing mission, to entertain, enlighten, educate, and talk all things Trek. To boldly go where no podcast has gone before.
Make it so.
Prepare to attack. All hands battle station.
Don't worry. We will get to the bottom of this.
All right. Ask is a tall ship and a star to steer by.
I don't want excuses. I want answers.
Am I authorized to enter the neutral zone?
How do you think that tells me about your character?
Captain's log, stardate 3541.9.
Program complete. Enter when ready.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Trekmate. My name is Jude Schnarf Hawkins.
And I am Wayne Emery. And we're back. It's a new year.
It is. Yeah, very exciting.
I say very exciting.
The third today?
No, today's the second. Today's the second. Yeah. So, yeah, congratulations, everybody, on another successful orbit around the sun.
Yep, indeed you do.
That's it. Something that none of us have had any influence on. However, we will celebrate it as if we have accomplished something.
Yeah.
We've managed to stay alive for another orbit. That's our own accomplishments.
Yeah, I'm happy about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Despite all the crap that goes on around us.
Oh, that's it. That's it. And so, yeah, no. Looking forward to 2019. Got exciting stuff going on.
You've got to be positive, haven't you? You've got to concentrate on those positives, which for us and lots of people out there, there's a lot of them.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Are you the type of person that makes New Year's resolutions, or?
Yeah, we did. We all sort of made them. Well, me, my wife and my eldest son did. One of them was what I just said just then. I say it to you all the time. Just keep concentrating on those positives.
Mm-hmm.
It's very important. When you forget to do that, life can suck very quickly.
Yeah. It's very easy to fall down the rabbit hole of getting too pressed down about things that are quite often out of your control.
Yeah, and I'll say this to anyone listening, like, if ever you feel that yourself doing that, just reach out to someone you care about, because we've all got someone. Like, sometimes it can be hard to speak to your own family and stuff about it. Like, maybe it's embarrassing, or you feel like you've had that conversation, but just reach out to mates and stuff, because chances are other people are doing the exact same thing you are.
Exactly, and even I was going to make a joke, but it's one of those things. It's true. No, it's absolutely true. It does. Even if you feel that you can't speak to people that you know in real life, there is a community of people within the Trek community who would definitely be there for you and listen to. Whatever issues, and the thing is, the majority of people will understand, and a good number of those also in the same boat.
Yeah.
So yeah, by all means, yeah. No, it's definitely one of those things that you should reach out and discuss things. I mean, hell, I know that me and you might talk extensively. Exactly. So it's one of those things.
Week? Who's having a worse month? Whose turn is it?
And that's it. Playing top trumps with females.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
No.
But yeah, it's got to be done. You've got to be there for each other, haven't you?
Exactly. If Trek hasn't taught us anything, it should be at least to be compassionate and empathetic towards each other.
Yeah.
Exactly. There you go. Keeping it Trek related.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We'll try as hard as we can with that tonight. But
no, fuck it.
Well, sort of. All I'm trying to say is, like many times in the past, tonight's one of those nights where we have no plan. We've got a few plans for the weeks ahead. We've got some really cool guests coming on. And
yeah, no, definitely. I don't think we should even bury the lead. We'll let people know what's going on. We've got... Sure. Next week we'll be joined by Rick Moyer.
Well, hey.
So long-time listeners will know Rick, and the short-term listeners would have heard him countless times in our intro music.
Well, yeah, so I was going to say, for the actual listeners, you've probably just heard him, you're about to hear him.
Well, saying that, no, you would have heard his music, you wouldn't have heard him, because yeah. he hasn't had the voiceover on the intro for a long time now. Not since I can't remember his name, Piotr, the guy who does the Patrick Stewart impersonation.
I do like that, yeah.
Yeah, so, but yeah, he does the outro stuff, and... You'll always hear us talking about him. So yes, Rick's coming and joining us next week, and we're going to put our heads together and we're going to do what we said we were going to do in the last episode. We're going to start working on our next our first Trekmate Star Trek parody song for next Christmas.
I'm determined to get that done, you know, which is going to be 90% of that work is Rick.
Yeah, exactly. We're
going to write the lyrics, basically.
We're going to try and put our heads together and get the lyrics. And then also, I think we should definitely try to lend some vocals to it as well.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. I can't, apart from the intro, I can't remember the song. I surprisingly didn't hear it that much over Christmas. It was all the others.
Are you hanging up your stocking on the wall? It's a time when every Santa has a ball.
Ah, that's, yeah, no, I've got it now. Thank you.
That's it. So, yeah, we're going to be covering Slade's Merry Christmas, Everybody.
Yeah, I'm definitely happy to lend our vocals to that.
Yeah,
maybe we could even get other people involved in that, like a few, I don't know. Another guest we've got coming on the show is JD. Like, if he's got a quality mic, which I presume he does, could get him.
Well, saying that, depending on how it goes, we could maybe do a Star Trek parody of Band-Aid.
Yeah.
Getting in as many people as we can.
Well, let's try Slade first.
Let's try Slade first, and
if
then
that's
we'll...
a success, then we'll get everyone in. Yeah, like yeah. I mean, everyone, every single person we can.
Yeah, exactly. That might be fun as well.
Oh, definitely, that would be. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that would be very, very fun, actually.
Like, even if the vocals were awful, like everyone who took part and everyone who listens, I'm sure would have a good laugh.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. So yeah, we've got Rick coming, and then the week after we're being joined by JD from the Wilderness. So old school Trekmate family member. So yeah, it's going to be nice to speak to JD again.
Oh, fuck it. I don't care if he gets offended or pissed off. For anyone who's new listeners or viewers of the YouTube channel, JD was part of a two-man podcast on the Trekmate family network.
That's right.
Which was all about DS9, and it was hilarious. Those guys did a great job, but they packed it in quite a few years ago, didn't they?
Yeah, quite a while ago now. I'm not actually sure when it was. It was a good few years ago. Well, they had packed it in way before we got together on a permanent basis.
At least a year before, yeah, before I became a proper member of this show. But
and that was back in 2015 we got together.
before it will have been 2004. Well,
no. The first
I was first on the show as a guest or whatever in 2014. It must have been because
it was about October or September 2015. Because it was the year before DSC 2016.
Oh, I'm lost now.
It was we definitely got together on a permanent basis in 2015.
All I know is that I was on this podcast before my second son was born saying, if it's a boy, we're going to call it Cisco.
Yes.
And then it happened. We fully expected it to be a girl for whatever reason at that time, but
mm-hmm.
But he's not.
Yeah, because and what year was Cisco born?
2015.
Yeah, no. What in what month?
June.
Yeah, no. It was definitely. I'm just trying to think.
It's somewhere like between the end of 2014.
We definitely weren't doing it permanent together in 2014.
But you were probably back at that time. We were converted.
No, because we came back together. We came back together with...
No. You did about 3 to 5 episodes where it was just you, but you always had a...
Oh, at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it definitely was at that point. Now I'm going to have to just fucking look.
You have a look, and while you're looking, I'll just ramble a tiny bit. Also, I was going to say is, once upon a time, when I was just a Trekmate listener, I really enjoyed the show and listened to it from episode 1 onwards, and it was like, here's Wayne and Paul, and, you know, they're good mates, and they're having a laugh, and I really enjoy this, and this is completely different to the other Star Trek podcasts I tried, and just was like, nah. And then you had Mark kind of join like mm-hmm. 10 to 20 episodes in. And it was like, okay, this guy's a little bit geeky, very knowledgeable. But because you still had you two, it was a perfect combination, the three of you.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoyed that. And then anyone who's a long time listener knows what comes after that. But eventually you started expanding into the Trekmate family when mm-hmm. you started getting other people making podcasts for you, where you didn't have to be directly involved, and I gave most of them a try, but, you know, meaning no offense to anyone, like most of them I only got like a couple of episodes in where I was like, yeah, that's all right, didn't enjoy it as much as the normal Trekmate show. But when you had Fez and JD come on for the Wilderness one on the main show, you did like episode 0.1 or something.
Yeah.
I was just like, yeah, this is going to be good. Like, if these guys actually carry this on,
mm-hmm.
like, it's going to be pretty funny. And, like, sure enough, their actual episode 1 onwards was just so funny and just so late. It was like you and Paul, but, like...
Yes.
It's like... Yeah, I try not to swear too much, but it's like... It's like, if you think Wayne and Paul didn't give a fuck, wait until you get a load of these two guys. They've got nothing to lose.
That's it.
And plus, they were always talking about my favourite, pretty much, series from that point onwards anyway, mm-hmm. DS9, which was just great.
Yeah, you know, and the thing is... JD and Fez as a podcasting duo worked brilliant together.
They did, yeah.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, it was a very good laugh. If it's definitely worth going into the archives and downloading them because it's thoroughly enjoyable.
I think much like you and Paul and Mark, like both shows deserve a re-listen, I think, from me, from beginning to mm-hmm. now.
Yeah, that's good to know. Okay, dude, I was wrong. Your first appearance on the show was the 9th of February 2015.
Okay.
And we came back on the 24th of August 2016. So he came back the same year as DST.
Oh, okay. That's quite a big gap there, but yeah, that's still cool. Still cool to know.
Yeah. So, we've been recording together for just over 2 years.
Nice. Like
two and a half years now coming up.
Yeah.
So, yeah. No, I tell you what, time's a strange thing.
It is a very strange thing. Yeah.
Oh dear. So was that your only New Year's resolution to try and be more positive?
I had like four, but they all pretty much came back to that. I've got stuff about keeping fit and losing weight, and I'm already ahead of myself on that. I have been for a while. I really sort of ate too much, drank too much at Christmas, but I knew I was going to do that. There's loads of stuff I resisted, which I'm proud of. I've not touched chocolate in like 4 months, which I'm proud of myself for that. But I knew I was going to end up gaining weight in that month. But I've been at the gym 3 nights in a row this week, or these last 3 days. So yeah, I'm on the right track with that. I want to lose weight, build muscle. So yeah, that's two right there. I can't remember what my fourth was, but probably something along the lines of focus on the positives again, just differently worded.
Yeah. No. Well, that's.
It is important. It really is important. You know, just it's such a simple thing. Like one thing I'm always like telling my eldest son, who's 14 now, is just the Monty Python song. Like it's funny, but it's true.
Always look on the bright side of life.
Yeah, it's so true.
Life's a pile of shit.
It is.
When you look at it, so. Yeah, it is. It is, especially in today's climate.
Yeah, that song is absolutely perfect for every single day. Like, you could wake up and listen to that song and it makes sense every day.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But... No, I've not actually. Most years, I tend to set myself a New Year's resolution. However, I just haven't this year.
Well, just take mine. You can just borrow mine.
No, it's fine because I already know what I'm gunning for. So it's not like I felt that I needed to set myself any goals. And also, I think it's one of them things that if I don't set myself any goals, then I can't let myself down.
That's true. No, I mean, I do often have that sort of attitude. Sometimes it can be good to focus on negatives. Don't expect anything good. And then you won't be disappointed.
Oh, dear. But no, well, there's going to be a lot of, I've got a lot of positive things I'm looking forward to. Obviously, we've got the Palooza.
Yeah, I really think we need to talk about that, like, not on the pod, maybe.
No, we do need to sort that out.
Yeah. I've been, you know, saying stuff to my wife, like, me and Wayne need to have this conversation. We need to...
Yeah, both of us need to pull our fingers out and discuss things on that.
Yeah, but I think, yeah, best not do it on here tonight. But, yeah, something will be happening again at some point.
You might be on the same sort of wavelength as what I'm on at the moment.
I hope so. Yeah.
We tend to be quite often.
Yeah.
So I have a feeling we might be. But then also in June we're going away for 17 days to Portugal.
I'm going away in June as well.
Yeah.
In a bold and crazy move, I bought Sarah and me a crazy present for Christmas. We're going to go to a music festival called Grass Pop Metal Meeting Belgium.
In Belgium?
Yeah, a 3-day...
The whole family?
No. What we're going to do is we're going to drive the kids and the dog up to my parents in the north. And then we're going to be picked up by a coach on the Wednesday, which will take us all the way to Dover or wherever the hell it is. then we'll get on a ferry, and then we'll arrive in Belgium on the Thursday, and then we've got 4 nights in a hotel, and every morning, that same coach will drive us to the festival. So I've always dreamed of doing that. You know, I've gone to festivals for decades.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea of going to all 3 days and not actually having to camp in a horrible bloody tent on the cold, wet floor with loads of noise going on, being able to go to a hotel and get in the shower is just awesome.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. That's all the pros without the cons.
Yeah. So we're both really, really happy about that.
So what date's that then?
The actual festival is the 19th to the 21st, I think.
You'll be away about the same time as us. We're going away the 17th.
Oh, nice one.
And then we're back, I think, like the 4th or 5th of July. So we're away for like 17 days.
Oh, that's good. No, that's good, but we're both going away at the same time. June, didn't I? We will be leaving we'll be away pretty much from the 18th all the way to the 25th, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. No, that'll be good. No, that'll be really good. That's two positives that we're both looking forward to in the new year.
And where did you say you're going to Portugal?
We're going to Portugal. We're going to my brother's villa.
Your brother's villa? Bloody hell. Is that Neil or is that another brother?
No, that's Neil. Yeah, he's got a villa out in Portugal that eventually intends to retire to.
Oh, I don't blame him.
But no, he's just had more work done on it this past year, and he's got a heated swimming pool and...
Oh, lovely. You'll have to take me out there sometime.
Oh, definitely. Well, the thing is, he's got a villa with like three big double bedrooms, and then also he's got like a converted garage that's got like its own living room and bedroom, and that could house like 4 people there.
That's brilliant.
As well, so he's got it really nice out there.
So if there's ever a, like the end of the world really comes, you know where you're going.
Oh yeah, that's the thing. If between Brexit and climate change and everything else, if we can get there, we'll bunker up there.
Yeah,
but
I'll follow you out there, I think.
That's it. No, it's lovely, really, really nice out there, and it's going to be the kids' first holiday abroad.
Oh wow! Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. So well, until this point, we'd always had like. They're a bit too young.
Just actually popping them out in the first place.
Yeah, well, that's it. Because they're all so close together,
yeah.
We've been kind of like waiting for the youngest to get to an age where it would be okay to travel. And also to a point where he would actually remember it as well.
Yeah, we're kind of the same with that. We've been planning, I think I announced it on here, we're hoping to go to Japan,
mm-hmm.
but we don't want to do it until 2020. So we're going to go like April 2020, I think. So
mm-hmm.
Cisco, the youngest, will be, he'll be nearly 5 at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, he'll definitely be able to take it in by then.
Yeah.
And it also gives us a chance to save up for it as well.
Exactly. It's not one of those trips that you can do on the fly.
No, it's not.
No, exactly. But yes, I'm really looking forward to that. And then also,
I bet they'll all love it.
Yeah, no, they will. They will. That's it. I'm going to use it as a real opportunity to kind of like really strengthen their swimming and.
Yeah, good idea.
Help, because the thing is, swimming in public swimming pools isn't cheap when you've got a big family.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't cheap at all, so to be able to have that at your at your disposal.
Well, it's not just the maths is not easy as well when you've got 2 parents to 3 young kids, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Watch them all, but if you've got that private swimming pool thing going on, you can just take turns at least, or just have you know, two.
Exactly.
Beside playing Nintendo or something.
No, exactly. And it was one of my favourite things to do when me and Leanne went out there last, is literally just to wake up in the morning, very first thing, even before like having breakfast, is just to jump in the swimming pool.
Oh, it's lovely. Anytime you can do that, yeah.
And then like it'd be the first thing I do in the morning, last thing I do at night. Yeah. And just multiple times through the day. And it, because of the heat as well, it's not as if you've even got to worry about drying off. It just happens.
Oh, I love it. I love that. I think I must have said it loads of times on here. Like, I lived in Spain for like a year or something. I can't remember how much it was now. But
mm-hmm.
I'll miss that place forever. We've sold it now, which is how I've managed to buy a holiday to Belgium for a festival, and how I'm going to be able to pay for a holiday to Japan, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
But I love that place. Just Spain and Portugal, all those countries like that, just so bloody nice. Just the freedom, the difference.
Yeah, no.
To what it is here, you know, like. Well, I don't want to go down that route.
Yeah,
stop moaning about where we live too much.
No, exactly. But
you've got to concentrate on those positives, people.
Exactly, but then also, this year I haven't actually discussed it on the podcast. But then I'll be having, life change.
You're going to say your surgery? You did a little bit on the last one.
I did on the last one. Yeah. No, I did on the last one. I'm going to be having that coming up. Because anyone who's ever watched any of our videos knows that I'm a huge fatty. So it's, and I've always struggled with my weight through my life.
Yeah.
And it got to a point where I would always struggle in the sense of, I would lose weight and then I'd put it back on. I'd lose weight and put it back on. Lose weight, put it back on. Mm-hmm. Just yo-yo dieting the whole time. And I find it really, really hard. So decided to get some help with it. So I've been referred for surgery, for gastric sleeve surgery. So I'll be having half of my stomach taken away. And that should be happening in the summer at some point.
So will that be before your holiday or?
No idea yet. I've got an appointment with my surgeon and my anaesthetist next month.
Okay.
And hopefully they'll be able to give us a better idea, because I had, it's a long process. It's a long process because first of all, to qualify for it, you have to be over, you have to have a BMI of over 40.
Yeah.
And which I did, and then you have to then do a year, like basically weighing and losing weight. They want you to lose a certain percentage of your body weight.
No, you know, it sucks to hear the stuff you've had to go through, but at the same time, like everything you've told me, every step, it makes sense. I'm glad that they do it that way, so they know that you're serious.
Exactly. Well, that's the thing. I haven't, as much as sometimes I might think, oh, it's a pain in the ass, I just want it over and done with, it hasn't bothered me that much, because time goes pretty quick, to be honest, especially in retrospective, because they get you to do a year losing a certain percentage of your weight, and then during that year, they get you to do what's called the milk diet,
mm-hmm.
which, because before your surgery, you have to have 4 weeks of not eating any solids and only drinking water and milk. I had to do that for 4 weeks, and I lost loads of weight with that. And I lost the amount that I needed to keep that off for the whole year, because then it's their way of making sure that you are, that you have the determination to be successful with the program.
Mm-hmm.
And I, done that, And then after that year, then they assess you and see what your weight's done, and then forward it on to like a board of people to get your funding authorized. So that got done. I got my funding. And then just before Christmas in December, I had an appointment with the nurse, which like was just basically asking this, like, normal sort of questions and also taking your bloods and measurements and everything else. And then also with dietitian to make sure what you're doing on that side. And then also with a psychologist as well. Mm-hmm. And then those three get together and meet afterwards to make sure that they're all happy with how you've done and that they think that you're viable for the surgery. At that point, then you get to have another appointment with the surgeon and the anaesthetist, which is what I've got coming up. And then they reckon it's probably a between 4 to 6 month wait after that. So, and what I'm having done is gastric sleeve surgery. There's two options that you can have nowadays, because they found that the band that a lot of people used to have.
I thought that's what you were having.
No, that actually, they don't do that anymore on the NHS. Oh. Because it's got a really low success rate. The majority of people that have it done end up going in full remission. And it's one of those things. It's easy for people to make it expand, to push food through. But also sometimes because it's a foreign body in there, your body can actually reject it.
Yeah.
As well. So they found that the success rate was really, really low. One of the options that they offer is a stomach bypass, which is basically they basically create like a pathway to bypass your main stomach. So the food would come down your gullet, bypass your main stomach, but go into like the last quarter of your stomach to like digest there and then move on. That's one option, and it works. For apparently the success rate for both of the options are roughly the same. So that's one option, though. What I'm going for is a gastric sleeve, which is where they physically it's all done through keyhole surgery. And they because your stomach is almost like a crescent shape.
Yeah.
Where they remove over half your stomach and make it into like a sausage shape. So they like physically remove it, cut it up, take it out of the keyhole surgery. And the part that they remove also contains the gland that secretes the hunger hormones as well. Which I'm hoping that helps as well. So then also it just means that you can't fit as much food through.
Yeah.
And so like basically your portion sizes are reduced drastically, and it takes longer to but the stuff that goes through does absorb just the same as before, and that's what I'm going for. And it's the same surgery of person that we know that's had gastric surgery as well. That's what he had as well. And he's done fantastic on it. And he kind of inspired me for that, like the path that I wanted to go down. I'm not under any illusions. It's not a quick fix. It's going to be hard work.
I think you're doing great already, and I think it's really going to help you. I can imagine that you will be a success story, just like I presume who you're talking about.
Yeah, that's what I'm really hoping, and I know that it will be a success story because I'm determined to make it that way. And
just don't know what you're going to look like. I don't know if you'll still be recognisable in like a year's time.
It'll be, that's the thing. I haven't actually been thin since I was probably 19.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen pictures on your Facebook and stuff where it's like, well, I don't mean to sound horrible, but you know what I'm going to say. It's like yeah. you're much thinner, but it's like you're still a big guy.
I am a big guy.
You're much thinner.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. It's I regret the days when I used to think how fat I was when I was 16 stone.
Yeah.
When
you look back and think, no, I was fine.
I was fucking fine. Yeah. But what was I moaning about? Like,
you are a pretty tall. Well, you don't think you are, but you are. You're a pretty tall person.
Well, someone your height would think I am.
Someone normal height like me.
Yeah, no, I'm not that tall. I'm only 6'2". So, but and as you said, because I've got that height, you carry the weight a slightly different way.
Yeah.
So where it's like when I started this journey, I was nearly coming up to 24 stone.
Yeah.
Where somebody who is like 5'8" would also be 5'8" wide.
Well, that's it. Like, what am I? I'm like 5'9".
Mm-hmm.
Or something like that. So if I was 24 stone, I'd look ridiculous.
Yeah.
I'd look like fucking Yokozuna, if anyone knows who that is. Mm-hmm. A sumo wrestler, basically.
And it's one of the things that, yeah, no, I haven't really been. It started for me when I was thin. When I was younger, I started out working on Turkey Farm. Then I worked at Tesco stacking shelves. Mm-hmm. And I was on my feet the whole time. I used to run to and from work, which was a 6-mile journey each way.
I'm the same as you. It's like when you become a dad, you just get stuck in these routines. It's just things you've got to do. And even if, I was just saying it today, even if you're busy all day long, you're not necessarily getting the exercise that you need.
No. And the thing is, it wasn't even when I became a dad. It was when I moved into a job where I was sitting down, because I then worked for the Sony PlayStation care line. And literally when I moved from stacking shelves at Tesco to there, my diet didn't change whatsoever. But within a period of a fortnight, I'd already put on a stone and a half.
Wow.
Just from staying the same.
Yeah.
And suddenly becoming just staying still. So it was... Yeah, no, it is. And then since then, all of my jobs pretty much have been sitting down, which means I'm not really burning the calories, like doing it other things as well.
And also, then when shitty and boring jobs can like encourage you to eat crap when you get there. Like just that slight bit more crap, crisps. We've said it on the phone to each other. It doesn't have to be like luxury stuff.
Oh, no.
In Krispy Kreme or Krispy Kreme donuts, you're just eating crisps and cheap biscuits, but it all adds up.
It does. It does. And the thing is as well, it's just when you're working like 9-10 hours, and you, even though you're sitting down, mentally you can be knackered. Because you've been working all day, you've been thinking all day. But so when you finish that shift, you don't want to go and spend 2 hours in a gym.
No.
Because you're already fucking knackered from the day. And it's that cycle that then screws everything up. So
you just want to spoil yourself slightly and just say, I'm going to do what I want to do, which is just sit and watch my favorite programs, favorite movies, and just eat this thing.
Yeah, and then as time goes on, you go, okay, no, I'm going to have a crack at it. I'm going to lose weight. Okay, I lost this many pounds. And then eventually you hit a plateau and it doesn't go down anymore. And then slightly old habits sneak back in. And then suddenly you're an extra 4 pounds heavier than when you first started trying to lose weight. And then it just slowly creeps up, creeps up, creeps up until suddenly you're nearly 24 stone. And then you're like, oh, shit.
Mm.
So, and that's the thing. When the photos that you've seen where, as you said, like I looked thinner, but a still big guy,
mm.
is like when I got married, I was about 18 stone. And that's probably the lightest that I've been. in a long time. And that was
what's just out of curiosity, what is your ideal weight? What do you want to be?
My ideal weight, I would like to get down to 14.
Yeah, that's I imagine that sounds about right for you, because my ideal is between 12 to 12 and a half. If I'm that, I know I'm like, I'll look normal and then I can build muscle and just get fit and stuff.
Yeah, well, the thing is, if you go by like the NHS recommendations, I should be about 13 stone.
Mm.
But for somebody my height with my build, I think that would look extremely anorexic.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that, with your height and stuff.
Because it's not as if, I'm quite a broad guy.
Mm.
So I think aiming for about 14 stone would be where I would like to be.
Yeah, I think you can do it. I think you're going to do it.
Yeah, oh yeah, no, I definitely am.
But yeah.
So it's going to be... It's going to be a very, it's going to be a year full of change coming up this year. And I'm really looking forward to getting on with it, getting it done. Apparently, I should only need about, well, they recommend like about 2 weeks off of work.
Mm.
So, and I should only be in hospital for 2 to 3 days at the very most.
Yeah.
So, since it's all keyhole, it's going to be pretty easy to go over in that sense, but you've just got to take it easy because of...
Oh, definitely.
All of the healing that's going on inside. And for the for the month before you do the surgery, you have to just drink milk. And then after the surgery, you have to stay on just liquid, like pure, like even though it's like food that can be like liquidized down and like nutrient stuff and that, you've got to like have totally smooth liquids for the first, I think it's about 4 weeks. And then after that, you've then got to go to like chunkier liquids, so like your slightly thicker soups and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then after another couple of weeks of that, then you can go to your mushy foods. And then after that, you can work towards, like a couple more weeks after that, then you're going towards like your more softer foods and then onto the solids. And then like apparently your body is totally healed inside within 100% after 6 months.
Yeah.
One of the positives that I didn't even know about until I, because I've done a lot of watching people's YouTube videos where they speak about the surgery that they've had.
Mm.
And one of the positives that someone turned around and says, they didn't account for just how easily they could get drunk after the surgery.
Yeah.
No, because your stomach's so much smaller and it absorbs it more. Now it doesn't take anything, so it's like, oh, brilliant. It won't, because as a fat guy, you absorb alcohol so much easier. You don't. It takes so much more alcohol.
Yeah, I've literally watched you on this pod drink a whole bottle of wine.
No, that was two that day.
Two bottles of wine, bloody hell.
Yeah, no, that was two.
Yeah, surely you must have yourself noticed. You're saying you've gone up and down with your weight, because I know I've done this. When you have done a good job to eat less, your stomach does shrink.
Oh, yeah.
So when you're doing really well and then you say you have that one day where you're like, fuck it, I'm going to have a Domino's or a
Pizza
Hut, and then you're like, oh, my God. Like your actual stomach is going to burst
when
you've treated yourself like that. So
exactly. And at the moment, I've got a little bit of work to do because I have treated myself this Christmas because I said,
same here. Like it's Christmas. I think
it's Christmas, but also it's Christmas, but it's the last Christmas that I'm going to have before having this surgery.
Well, that doesn't mean that you can't enjoy next Christmas.
No.
Foods, but you just got to do it in moderation.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, but also the thing is, I'm also tempted after, they've asked me to not do it before the surgery because a lot of the supplements and other things that they use all contain dairy, but I'm tempted to go vegan again after the surgery. So
I say go for it. If I could do it, I would, but I'm just not quite there yet.
Yeah, no, it's more to do with, I think at that point it will be more to do with convenience, like with regards to the family and everything. So, but it will, I'll figure that out. But yeah, no, I'm looking forward to that because it's going to be one of those things that when you do. Anyone who is of a bigger size knows that even I'm not looking for sympathy because I'm in no way need it nor deserve it. But it's like when you are a bigger guy, you can struggle to like run about with the kids, to keep up, to do things. But then also not even that. It's a question of sometimes I can keep up. It's just that you feel so much more self-aware as a fat guy doing things than you would being a thin guy doing things.
I can speak from experience. Mark is one of them. It's not just fatness. Another thing is smoking, where that can really hinder you, where I had that for years, where being a heavy smoker really Fs you up. And I experienced exactly what you were just talking about, where you get exhausted quickly doing the simplest of things. And I think I've given up for like 5 or 6 years now. And as far as that's concerned, I feel so much better.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think you've ever been a smoker.
No, never.
But like, obviously, food is your thing.
Yeah.
I think you're going to feel so much better once you've got it all under control.
Absolutely. I'm really looking forward to what it brings because it just opens up so many more doors. And also it's one of those things, it's like one of my goals that I always fucking wanted was to be able to do free fall skydiving, and you can't do it being over 16 stone.
And you'd still do that?
I'd still love to do it.
Oh shit! I talk about it like every once in a while with my wife. Like, I used to really want to do that when I was younger, but as soon as I had kids, I was just like, I don't want to do that now. Just in case I go splat at the end.
I've got life insurance.
Yeah, I know, but
it's fine. But. Yeah, no, it's funny. As I've got older, I've got more willing to take risks.
Oh, I'm more willing to take risks where I'll break my leg or break my neck or, you know, that sort of stuff. But to just flat out die, like, if your parachute doesn't work, you're dead. Like, I'm not so keen on that.
Yeah, but you could walk across the road and die.
I know. I know that.
And the thing is, in your head it exacerbates things because you are doing something which is absolutely unnatural to yourself, like you're hurling yourself out of a plane. But it's one of those things that I personally think you are much more statistically likely to die in a road traffic collision than you are from a failed like parachute.
Well, look, if you ever, you know, get to your ideal weight and all that sort of stuff and you really want to do it, maybe you'll be able to convince me to do it. If enough people, listeners and watchers of this podcast, say, go on, dude, I'll do it with you.
Yeah, well, the thing is,
if we get enough money on Patreon by 2022 or whatever the hell it is.
Yeah, sounds good to me. Sounds good to me. But I always fancied not only doing it as a one-off, but doing the actual courses. So, like, you have to do... I can't remember how many jumps it was. I think it was going to cost...
I looked into it years ago, but I've forgotten.
Yeah.
I don't think it's that much.
It's about 1,400. It was.
Oh, to do the thing. I thought you meant the amount of jumps. I was like, fucking hell, that's a bit...
Oh, no. The jumps, I think it's like about 20.
I thought it was more like between like 4 and 7 or something.
Yeah, no. So doing a course to actually get it solar, like you could have your own skydiving license, and then the costs of going skydiving just falls through the floor. Mm-hmm. Once you've actually got your license, you don't need anyone to actually be strapped to. The cost of it is next to nothing. So I would love to be in a position to be able to do that. And it's one of those things. It's as sad as it sounds, it's something that I've always fancied ever since watching Power Rangers, the movie, as a kid.
Well, I can't say that I've seen that. I have not seen it, so I don't know what you've seen.
You was an extra couple of years older than me, so...
Yeah, I was of the generation where, even though it was super popular, like, I was... When I did actually see Power Rangers in the morning on GMTV or whatever it was, I was just like, what the fuck?
No, me and Dominic were big into it. Yeah, because that's the thing, by that point, you would have been... Like up in senior school.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, we weren't quite. And it was, the opening scene on that movie, they're all skydiving together. And that was where I first got the thing of, I'd really like to do that.
I want to be a Power Ranger, goddammit.
I was thinking, if I can't be a Power Ranger, the least I can do is throw myself out of plane.
I tell you what, like... If people donate enough on Patreon or something, whatever the equivalent of that is, by the time we're both ready, we can strap to each other.
We could
do the first ever podcast. Well, I presume it will be. I don't know if someone's done it. Skydiving, like with ultra mega microphones. Mighty Morphin megaphones.
And that's the thing. Mighty Morphin microphones. Do you reckon they get
I've just shit myself and it's going in Wayne's crotch right now.
The odd thing is, it's not the first time. It's just this time we're 10,000 feet above the ground. Oh dear, that sounds like a plan to me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no. That'd be good fun. That'd be good fun. We could definitely do that. I wonder if you get, like, 4G service at that height.
Yeah.
We could do it live.
No, that's what I was thinking. Yeah, do it live. You know, so then if we die...
So if we die, the last thing that we're doing is a track off.
Yeah, it's time for the track off.
The last sound that you hear before hitting the ground is
yeah.
Oh dear. But yeah, definitely I'm up for that.
Yeah, that's definitely a future goal.
Oh dear. Though also coming in 2019, only round the corner, we've got season 2 of Discovery.
We do, yeah. I mean, fucking hell, we've not spoken about a single Trek thing in... Not even keeping an eye on time. What time did we start?
I think we started about 50 minutes ago.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So 50 minutes of no talking Trek on a...
Here you go. 11:18 we started, so...
Yeah, no, 50 minutes, pretty much.
57.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, no, we don't need to talk about Star Trek today.
Sorry, everybody.
If you've downloaded this podcast and got this far through hoping that we're talking about Star Trek today, No. So
we've been speaking about good stuff.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. I think
keeping
it's...
people positive, focusing on people's weight in the new year. A lot of people do actually want to hear that, I think.
Yeah, right. No, well, that's the thing. I think it's nice to get every so often get a little bit of insight into the hosts of the show.
Oh, yeah, we're all real people, just like everyone listening to this show. You're not just Trek fans. You're not defined by one franchise that you love.
No, exactly. Speaking of not being defined by one franchise, I'm definitely, if I was going to set a resolution, it'd be to try and be working harder on the Sci-Fi Collective.
Oh yeah, we've said that on the phone to each other I think that was today, and we totally intend to do that. It's still put as much Trek stuff as we can on there, but just definitely expand ourselves into stuff that we've not done, we've not covered, we don't even know F all about, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And also kind of like find our feet as to where we want to go with the collective as well.
Yeah, and I've already said stuff to you about opening that up to people. Like, I've been wanting to make a video for a while where, you know, like, not like I'm going mad on it or anything, but where I'm just saying to people, what do you want? You know, what do you want to see? Like, we know that we're biased towards Star Trek. We know we're biased towards Back to the Future, but that's because we love it. That's what we know.
Mm-hmm.
We've got very limited time, very little time to make these things. But if you tell us what you want, maybe we'll try that first.
Exactly. And that's, I think, something that we both can work towards as well, because it's good to get to know other franchises as well, and to like widen our horizons. But then also I want to try and work out the sort of content that people want to see from us.
Yeah, me too.
As well,
we'll get there.
Everything's been growing nicely and steadily, but slowly.
Yeah,
and we just need to kick that up into the next level.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what we'll do. Well, funnily enough, it's like what have we got at the moment? Well, funnily, I've got one Back to the Future video that I done with Neil before, I think it was about November, discussing fan theories that I just haven't finished editing together yet.
Oh, okay, cool.
That we recorded. I need to edit that together. Also, I need to finish getting up to date on the Back to the Future DeLorean. Then
anyone who's not watched it so far, I'm editing all the 15 questions.
Yep.
We did a DST with fans and Larry Nemechek and Max Gradenchik and
James Swallow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, no, and they've been going. I've been thoroughly enjoying those, looking back at them as well.
Yeah, I've been enjoying making them and then watching them back.
Yeah. No, you've been doing a good job, mate.
Cheers, man.
And it's and then also at the moment I'm starting to script together a video, because I never realised until somebody mentioned it to me that Battlestar Galactica is actually based heavily on Mormon beliefs.
And yeah, I was like, you were just telling me this today, and I was just shocked. Well, not that I've watched it, so it's not like I'd seen it, and then I was like, oh, really? Oh, you know, I've not seen it at all. But
did you not watch either incarnations?
No. Well, maybe I watched the original movie, but I may have been drunk.
Mm-hmm.
Or something along those lines at the time, and I just can't remember it.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. So I'm doing some research, and I'm going to script together a video to discuss those bits, and I'm going to try and maybe do it a bit more in depth than what I normally do some videos, because I want to see if that level of effort pays off.
Well, the one thing I think that me and you and Neil can bring to the Sci-Fi Collective YouTube channel is basically what me and you already do on here, which is just blunt honesty.
Yeah.
Where you don't have to be pretend to be something you're not. Like, if you've never bloody watched Battlestar Galactica, or you've never properly sat down and watched Doctor Who, you can say, I've never properly sat down and watched this. This is what I think as a 30-something-year-old man watching this for the first time. Mm-hmm. And these are my first reactions. You know, not every 30-something-year-old can say that.
Yeah.
On YouTube, you know, especially when it comes to geeky stuff. We just happen to be a bunch of guys who've really gotten into certain franchises.
Yeah.
But
no, definitely.
Others. So I think that, you know, that will work for us. That can be a sort of selling point, or whatever you want to call it, for the years.
The only thing that would be a bigger selling point is if we had tits.
Oh, always. Yeah. We say that to each other all the time.
Yeah. That's the thing. If we were female, we'd be so much more popular.
Oh, it really helps, yeah.
Wouldn't even need to put in any effort.
What, a little bit?
Maybe a little. Not a lot.
Not as much.
No, but it's... it's like I watched the probably first 3 seasons of Doctor Who when it came back. So I watched it with Christopher Eccleston and
David Tennant.
Watched like the first 2 seasons that he'd done and thoroughly enjoyed it, but then just kind of fell out of sync with it. But I really want to try and watch it with Jodie Whittaker.
I really do too. Like, to be honest, with all the news stories that were out there with, you know, stupid people's warped opinions of it, it made me want to watch that series, the new series, more than any, where I thought, like, I want to make this my series where I jump on board and watch this.
Yeah.
But like I said, on the YouTube, we can give our opinions as fresh fans to this.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I think that's the sort of thing that we should do as well. And I think I need to try and keep on top of... sorry, 1 second, I'm gusty.
Oh, God, the audio listeners are missing out on this.
No, it's gone. I was gonna sneeze, it disappeared.
You banked it.
Yeah. No, one thing that I think I need to keep on top of is news.
Oh yeah, definitely,
because that sort of thing does go down well as well.
It does. It passes the pair of us by all the time, where, you know, I'll be going to sleep at night thinking, like, we should have covered that, it's too late now.
Yeah,
nothing we can do. That's how it works with YouTube and any internet stuff. If you want to do news things, you've got to be ready.
Yeah, that's the thing, you've just got to be ready to go at the drop of a hat. And we've let the hat drop so many times, so I think like coming into the year, we're going to have to try and like just nail that a bit quicker as well.
Yeah.
And so yeah, it's one of those things that we're just going to keep on working hard. I know we talk about Sci-Fi Collective a lot, I feel, but yeah, no, it, but I we appreciate any support. And also seeing as I just read a tweet before starting recording, Jarek, which is Mike from the Stargate podcast, just tweeting that he was listening to us today at work. So if you're listening again, Mike, thanks for tweeting, always appreciate it.
Nice one, cheers man.
Yeah, always appreciate you listening to us. And if anyone else is listening to us, remember, give us a shout, it's always nice to hear from you.
I'm just going to say right now, just a very brief shout out to the guys at Engage.
Mm-hmm.
Simon in particular, I was just on Facebook, like you do when you're just having a quick browse. And I don't mean to embarrass him or anything. I mean, that's what social media is. It's like you embarrass yourself. Just, yeah. You know, bearing your soul sometimes. But Simon had put out a post on New Year's Day, what just said, like, he hadn't had the greatest of years or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But his highlights was, I can't remember what one of them was.
Australia.
One, yeah, that's it.
He went
it,
to Australia.
Taking a nice, cool holiday with his family. And his other highlight was Sci-Fi Palooza, Kings Langley. And I replied to him, but when I read that, I was just, oh, that's fucking cool. You know, like, mm-hmm. it's one of those things where even if, you know, we went to a lot of effort and work to put that on, but even if just one person
enjoyed it and one person appreciated it, then it was worth it.
Yeah, and I know that there was more than one, but, you know, I was really sad and happy to read that at the same time. I was like, you know, I'm glad, you know, it's a lasting memory. It was for us too.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really happy to see Simon and Jamie that day. But yeah, it was just nice reading that. So yeah, shout out to Simon and Jamie.
Yeah, no, definitely. Definitely. I absolutely love the Engage boys. Their support is always.
And we've already, I think we've even spoken on here about, we will be having another event and we're going to scrap, as much as we like it, we're going to scrap the game room in favor of having some live podcasting going on across multiple multiple podcasts. Channels.
Yeah, just having somewhere that all the podcasters can just get together.
So so that would be great to do. So, you know, if you're listening, guys, you know, you're first on that list.
Absolutely.
On the priority list of other podcasters other than Trekmate to be able to podcast.
And let's face it, we will probably not even have time to do our own. We'll just jump into others.
Then you can go second.
That's it. Oh,
got to let Larry go first. Actually, that's probably not a good idea. Then no one will get in.
No one will get in. No. But
Another thing.
That's the thing. We know how long that can
take. We've only got the venue for so long. Everybody's got to go home. The disco's finished.
Mate, it's been 9 hours.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. But no, it's...
We got to keep deep diving, guys.
That's it. There's deep diving, but you've got to come up for air.
Yeah.
So, but no. So, yeah, no, I think we're at a point where we should just round up the episode.
Yeah. Again, I apologize. I really do to anyone who tunes into this podcast.
And expected some form of Star Trek. However, you've had Trek, mate.
I'll give you two things. The second thing, I think we should probably do a quick Trek off, shouldn't we?
Oh, go on then. Why not?
The first thing I was going to say is it's just one of those things. Everyone who's listened to this as long as I've done it knows that I love just seeing Star Trek references in day-to-day life in other things that have got nothing to do with Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it be someone's like business with a Star Trek theme name, or just something that pops up in a TV program or movie or something, I just love seeing that stuff. It just makes me go, "Woo, Star Trek!" You know, when you're not expecting it.
Mm-hmm.
My thing today was what I'm spit out in a second is one of my favorite cheesy heavy metal bands from the 80s. Band called Manowar.
Oh yeah,
very cheesy. Like they've kind of like based their whole gimmick on like Conan the Barbarian, the films and comics and stuff, and what they wear. It's just so cheesy. I was watching their DVD today, and I was watching all their music videos, and then they have like the making of the music videos.
Mm.
And I think it was like only their first or second video in like 1984 or something. And they're on stage. But like they've got a bigger lighting show than they normally would for their usual shows at that point. And there's just so many lights. But on the commentary where the band is talking about the lighting thing, they're just like, oh, this is the biggest, best thing we'd ever had at that point. And we basically designed the lights on a Klingon bird of prey. And when I heard that, I was just like, oh, awesome.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
That is fantastic.
I was just watching. I wasn't watching it, like, expecting to hear that. I was just, I'm going to see that band next year, basically. That's
just how random.
Yeah. And I was just like, awesome. And when I looked at it, you know, because I like both things, I was like, yeah, I can sort of see that.
Yeah, no, it's got the silhouette.
Yeah, yeah, it's basically there. But yeah,
how random.
Yeah, definitely. I love that sort of stuff.
Yeah. Oh no, definitely, definitely. Any sort of, I always enjoy it when you get references, because it quite often, sometimes they go straight over the head of someone else. But
oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah. No, it does pay off. Okay, are we using trivia book one or two?
Anyone who is watching on YouTube can see that I have both books here.
Oh,
so whatever, oh, you have two.
Shall we alternate it? Alternate books? We could whatever. Do a couple from both, couldn't we?
Yeah, sure. So should we do book one first?
Yeah, we'll do book one first.
Okie dokie.
Okay.
I have no idea who won last time or anything.
I think it was you.
Yeah, it probably was.
Okay, so do you want to go first or second?
In recent times, and I always surprise myself. But actually, I think I've actually said it's usually because I'm, you said he cheated sometimes. But I think it's because I use the drink water technique.
That's it. Or should I say the tried and tested.
Sometimes it just happens that way. Sometimes when you're just having a drink, like maybe you're not thinking about it as much.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're just able to tap that knowledge easier somehow. I don't know how it works.
No, it definitely happens.
So I get to pick.
Yeah, are you first or second?
I'll let you go first. I've got the book in my hand. So we're both on book one.
Yep.
Okay, here we go. Can you see?
I can. Stop.
Okie dokie. So we are on Star Trek, the films.
Okay.
This has got to be a English. Oh, God, what was that? Something just fell down in my kitchen. God knows what that was. Yeah, so it's 152 to 175 you can choose from.
Let's go for 168.
168, so it's multiple choice.
Okay.
It should be an easy one. Well, I think so. In the Wrath of Khan,
mm-hmm.
What code did Spock and Kirk use to mislead Khan about the Enterprise repair schedule? A, days equals hours. B, minutes equals hours. C, weeks equals days. D, days equals minutes. Oh, maybe it's not so easy. I don't think I'd get that.
Fuck. Okay. Give me them one more time.
Okie dokie. In the Wrath of Khan, what code did Spock and Kirk use to mislead Khan about the Enterprise repair schedule? A, days equals hours. B, minutes equals hours. C, weeks equals days. Or D, days equals minutes.
I'm going to have to just take a punt at the last one. Is it weeks means minutes?
Nope. No, it's not. It's A.
Oh, it's A.
Days equals hours.
I haven't got a fucking clue.
No, I wouldn't have done, man. I don't think there's shame in that one. Usually when I see the Wrath of Khan turn up, I think like, oh, that should be an easy one. But
yeah, that's the thing. Considering how popular the film is, it should be like an easy hit.
I think for both of us, it's probably like in our top five.
Yeah, exactly. It's definitely in my top five, though not in my most watched category.
I think I've watched it quite a lot, even if it's not in like the top three. Mm. I've still watched it a lot. I mean, it's certainly probably my number one for TOS films, at least.
Yeah, yeah, no, true. I've watched Undiscovered Country more than I've watched Khan.
Mm.
So, okay, mate, tell us when.
Stop.
Okay. Oh, okay. So you have got Star Trek Voyager.
You put a piece of blue tack in there or sellotape or something.
Let's see, I've got bookmarks. So you've got 109 to 135.
I'm going to go 109 and hope they've put the easiest question on the first bit.
Okay, this could be the easiest. Okay, what was Seven of Nine's complete Borg designation?
I thought you were going to say breast size at first. I might be able to guess that one.
That's it, you'd have at least a good punt.
Oh, God. I don't know if I should share something on the pod or just do it privately. No, I'll do it privately. I don't want that. Yeah, I'll say it privately. Say it again. What is her full designation?
Her full designation. Her full complete Borg designation.
I would have thought the answer is in the question, but that's what it is.
I actually would have got this. It's okay, so is that your final answer?
Yeah, sure, because I'd say like 7 of 9 of 10, or something like that.
It's 7 of 9 tertiary adjunctive of Unimatrix 01.
No way. You're saying you would have got that?
I definitely would have at least got the majority of that, and I might have been able to get the second bit just from a guess.
Well, if we carry on doing this podcast for years and years, I hope you forget that you asked me that one and that comes up for you one day, and we'll see if you really do remember that.
Okay, go on then.
We're still going to do book one for two more questions and then skip on to the other, shall we?
Yeah, go on then.
Okay, here I go.
Stop.
Okay, so I don't know what the general thing is. What was it? I think it's part of personnel files, but the specific thing or subject here is youth.
Okay, so it's going to be like the young members of the crew.
Yeah, I'd presume so. So you've got 214 to 229.
Let's go 216.
216. So no multiple choice this time, just a straight up question.
Okay.
I think I would get this one. Well, partly because I watched it after the last podcast we did. I actually watched this episode. At what game did Spock beat Charlie that made the teenager angry enough to melt the playing pieces?
I don't know. I'm just going to take a guess at tri-dimensional chess.
Yeah, that's what I think too. What number did I say that was? 216.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Though it's probably a Vulcan game that...
Nah, you got it, man. You got it.
Yeah?
Yep.
Excellent. There you go. I always wanted one of them tri-dimensional chess boards.
Yeah, I still sort of do. if you're to get them, I've always wondered, is it just chess, but it's the board is different, or is there slightly different rules?
I haven't got a clue. I've never read the rules.
Because I know it does exist. You can buy it. Or
yeah.
I don't know if it's official or if people are just...
No, there was official releases back in the 90s, and I'm sure there still is.
But I've never really known that, but always sort of wondered, like, is it just, you know, traditional chess, but over the, you know, over different boards like we see, or is there, you know, something more to it?
I'm sure there's probably a YouTube video on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there probably is. Okay, so
hey, if there isn't, that's something for us to make.
Exactly, definitely.
In fact, if you're listening to us right now, guys, and you know the answer to that,
yeah,
no,
message in
video out, and we'll credit you.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, now mate, you ready?
Sort of. Yeah, I am. Go. Stop.
Oh.
I'm not waiting too long. I don't want Voyager again.
Your subject is Cardassians.
Okay, yeah. Might be all right.
So, 201 to 216.
201 to 216. I'm going to go 215.
Okay. Who was Garak's father?
A slightly overweight guy who refused to admit that he was Garak's father for at least two episodes, who doesn't need to be named.
That's it. You're on the right track.
I can't remember his name. I can remember his face. I can clearly remember the episodes. They're really good. I'm sure I have some title or whatever, but I couldn't tell you what it is. I really couldn't. And that obviously is what you need.
No, I never would have remembered the name, but yeah, no, it's a very distinctive character. You remember him exactly right.
Character. I love the scenes. I love the episodes, but I'm not going to feel bad about not knowing his name.
No, my pronunciation is probably going to be totally awful, but it's Enebran Tain.
Yeah, God, how would I remember that?
No, exactly. So, okay, let's move to book two.
Okay, so where are we on the score? You've got one.
I've got one. You've got none.
So you're on your question four.
Third question.
Oh, you're only on your third. You sure it's not your fourth?
No, third, because we've done two questions each.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought we'd done three each. Okay.
No.
Here we go.
Stop.
Oh, you lucky son of a gun. Well, it's Star Trek Deep Space Nine, plain and simple.
Okay.
So you've got 131 to 151.
Let's go 131.
131. Oh, for God's sake. I think you even asked me this. I'm pretty sure you asked me this on the pod, like, in the last 2 or 3 weeks.
If that is the case, then we'll choose a different question.
Yeah, I think that might be a good idea. Because it's such an easy one. Even if you hadn't asked it, you'd know it immediately. But I'm pretty sure...
What was the question?
What civilization was responsible for the death of Jennifer Sisko? I know you did. So, I know, it's one of those questions where it just...
So simple that...
Yeah, that's what will have won me a trek off 1 week.
Okay, go for 146.
146. Okay, it's a multiple choice.
Okay.
The caretakers of the symbionts, the guardians, are usually A, unjoined Trill, B, Trill, who have been joined at least 3 times. C, Trill who have been joined at least 5 times. D, Trill who have been joined at least 9 times.
I don't feel confident on my Trill knowledge. I recently watched the one where Dax was stolen from Jadzia. And
yeah, I did too.
And implanted into Lionel Luthor. Can't remember his actual real name.
The owner of the mall from Gremlins 2.
Yeah. No, I know him best from Smallville.
Oh, Smallville, yeah, I did watch a tiny bit of that. I wanted to like it, but I was just like, God, this is awful.
Oh, no, I was fully in love with Smallville.
Really?
Yeah.
You never felt disappointed that it never went anywhere?
No, I got really... no, I was absolutely sold. Hook, line, and sinker on it. Tom Welling is my favourite Clark Kent.
Yeah, but he's not your favourite Superman, though, is he?
No, I would still say but the thing is, he wasn't Superman at that point. Only right at the end.
Yeah,
I would love for them to have brought him back as Superman in something. Okay.
Okay, I've got a problem here. I'm.
You're trying to find the answer.
I'm having difficulty finding the. Answer. I don't know if it's because I need to go to I need to go to New Life and Civilizations and then find Deep Space Nine, I think.
Because at the moment I'm trying to play it out in my head, because I know that like people have to work hard to get a symbiont,
yeah,
as well as being compatible.
Yeah, it's a lot easier, isn't it, to remember about the ones that are wanting to do it rather than the ones that are overseeing it, the guardians or the caretakers of the symbionts. I can ask it again if you want.
A part of me is not sure whether it would actually... Because, like, whether they almost, like, worship him to a point that it's people that aren't actually joined. Because this question, I haven't actually got a single clue, so it's going to be a guess.
And I can ask it again if you want, but I'll just...
No, it's fine. It's fine. Because the most on there was 9 years, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's either A...
not Trill, nine B, lifetimes.
B, 3 times, C, 5 times, or D, 9 times.
I'm tossing between none and nine. It's like the two extremes.
Yeah, definitely. So A or D, if that's the case.
I'm going to go for A.
You bastard. You're completely correct.
Yeah, I just assumed it would be like them like worshipping the symbionts almost.
I feel like I knew that, but I don't think I'm positive, but I would have gone for that as well, A.
Yeah.
That is correct.
Yeah, no, okay, well, I'm glad about that.
Well done. Right. So you're...
2.
2 out of 3?
2 out of 3.
That was only... And you went first, so this is my third.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah. Stop.
Okay, on this page, there is only 3 questions.
Hmm.
So, do you want those 3 questions, or do you want me to flip back one or forward one?
It depends what the 3 questions are about.
They're Voyager.
Oh, fuck it. Start again. Do me a favor. Start again. It's New Year's. Give me my Christmas, New Year's present.
Okay.
Stop.
Fuck, there must be a fold in the page because it's the same page.
Well, just go for a split second and then stop.
Okay, ready?
Just like, stop. Stop. That was one. That'll do, I guess.
Oh, one second. No, that was, wait, one, two. That was two.
Is it not Voyager?
That was Voyager.
You're going to make me wet myself. And I really need a slash.
Okay, so to redeem yourself slightly, you've got two pages. One contains a few questions from the motion picture, and the others are on the Wrath of Khan.
Yeah, I'll go Wrath of Khan.
Okay, so 43 to 55.
45.
Okay. How many Klingon vessels attacked the Enterprise in the Kobayashi Maru simulation? Was it 2, 3, 4, or 5?
I already had an answer in my head, so I'm just going to go with that. I didn't even know it was going to be multiple choice. I'm going to go with 5. If I'm wrong, so be it, but that's what I had in my head as soon as you asked it.
That's your final answer?
Yeah.
I think I would have gone for 3.
Would you?
Yeah.
It's just 5. Like, the whole point of the simulation is that, like, you can't beat it. And, like, 3 would be the sort of minimum number where it's like, okay, they could do stuff where you're screwed, but, like, 5 just seemed to me like you're properly screwed. There's no way out of that, which is the whole idea.
But the thing is, going up against 3 Klingon ships being one vessel, you're pretty fucked.
I suppose it's my fault for growing up on Next Generation. If it was Next Generation, they wouldn't have that problem.
No, true. And the answer is 3.
No, that's fair enough. It's like I said, that was the... That's like the kind of minimum number where that would make sense.
I think, to be honest, I think like if it was 5-on-1, you have got no chance to even try to defend yourself.
Yeah, which is kind of the joke of the thing, that, you know, Kirk can beat it.
True, but the thing is, at least with 3, you could put up a bit of a fight.
Yeah, like I said, it's my fault for being more of a TNG, well, I am a TNG kid.
You are indeed.
So that would make sense. If it was TNG, it's like, that's the only answer that would have made sense there.
Yeah.
But for TOS, it's like, okay, yeah, like 2, maybe we could handle 2, but 3, you know.
Yeah. I don't know if the Enterprise, if one galaxy class, if it was, obviously if you're talking Birds of Prey, that's one thing, but if it's up against like 3 Vorture class attack cruisers, they're pretty hefty ships as well.
Yeah, but it's not, so, that wasn't what it was.
No, it wasn't. So that's... Is it for this week?
Is it? Oh, God, we were there already. Well, good, because I'm desperate for the toilet.
Yeah, no, that is it for this week. No, we promised that we're going to be talking about Star Trek next week whilst we talk to Rick and write our new song.
We're gonna have a new Star Trek song to give to Rick to go off and record, and, you know, we'll have a laugh submitting our 2 admissions for that.
Yeah. No, definitely. I'm looking forward to it.
We'll talk about new Star Trek, what's coming in 2019, you know, on Netflix and CBS, whatever the hell it is. And we'll be talking about stuff of old and other funny things, and we'll have a good old laugh.
Yeah, definitely. I'm looking forward to it. So, yeah, no, it's been good.
It has, yeah.
Yeah, no, even though we haven't talked Trek, it's been nice to get together and just chat.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I think this, it's one we needed to get out of our system, and then we can move on to the next one, the next one, and the next one.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So, yeah, no, dude, start signing this out.
Well, all I'll say to Wayne and everyone who's listening is just like, even though it's gone, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and Wayne is probably going to sign us out because he just won the Trek Off.
It is very true. So, as Jude said, Happy New Year, everybody. And that is Trekmate.
This is Captain. This is the captain of the USS Enterprise responding to your call for help.
Enterprise, thank you for hearing us. Where are you?
Fencing with his partner, things they go awry. When Simon turns on backwards from some crazy scientist guy. A distress call in the distance, it calls the Enterprise. They race on over, and Jean-Luc gets surprised.
Silver poofy pants, a long forgotten romance, stood her up in Paris, France, in her silver poofy pants, in her silver poofy pants, gold trips her through the galaxy, in her silver poofy pants, married to Manaheim, you see.
Yo. Oh, Manaheim effect will hurt the universe. Jean-Luc meets Jean-Nice, and things can get much worse. Data has to place the antimatter complete. There's three of him that seal it up so neatly.
In her silver poofy pants, the long forgotten romance stood her up in Paris, France. In her silver poofy pants, in her silver poofy pants,
going trips into the galaxy. In her silver poofy pants, married to Manaheim, you see. In her silly poofy pants, Jean-Luc, you missed out, yo. In her silver poofy pants, to the vendor system we go. Silver poofy pants. Do you regret your choice? In her silver poofy pants. When you recognize her voice. In her silver poofy pants.
You've been listening to the Trekmate Podcast. Would you like to get a hold of us? Visit trekmate.org.uk and boldly go where no podcast has gone before.
Make it so.
Prepare to attack. All hands battle station.
Don't worry. We will get to the bottom of this.
All I ask is a tall ship and a star to steer by.
I don't want excuses, I want answers.
Am I authorized to enter the neutral zone?
How do you think that tells me about your character?
Captain's log, stardate 3541.9.
Program complete. Enter when ready.
I am Captain Jean-Luc Picard, and I approve this message. Tweet us at Trekmate1701. Make it so.